It's Colossians.
Yep.
Good. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. I'll put this aside so we don't have interference. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. And we are not going to read verse 18 because we read last week. But open there. Colossians 3, verse 18. And keep your Bible open, because we're not going to read through. We're going to read as we go. Okay? Colossians 3, verse 18. Our title on the screen, Authority and Submission Part 2. Last week we saw authority and submission where? At home. The place we don't want to talk about authority. We can talk about authority with the politics, at the church, at work, but at home it must be whatever. My house is one thing, your house is another thing, and that's it. No, no, no. There is authority and submission inside the house. Can we say amen? Amen. Good. So, today it's authority and submission at work. And I'll have the best time of my life. Today I'm going to vent. I'm going to complain about my boss. And I'm backed up by scriptures. Today's the day. No, I'm joking. I'll hammer myself. Unsubmissive boy. Authority and submission at work, verse 18 to 21, it's the house. So let us read verse 22. And you're going to read with me, not everything. Follow me very carefully. Verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Repeat with me, everything. Okay. So, authority and submission at work. Before I go to these verses, I want to bring the thesis of this sermon. The main idea of this sermon. Pay attention. If you miss this, I failed. Okay? If this sermon is about you work well, boss pay well, that's it, let's go home, we failed. What is the thesis? The thesis is this. Christ is sufficient. Christ brings you sufficiency, redemption, reward, not your work. Was that clear? Second thing, if we miss this, we lost. The purpose of work is obedience. Easy. Maybe not. Because as I'm saying, I'm going to be vulnerable. I work in ministry because I want to have a purposeful life. I didn't want to go construction. I didn't want to do any other thing. Stand-up comedy, I think I would be a good fit. But I want to be a purposeful man. And so I pursued that. And so I went to Bible college. And so are our teenagers, they need to make a choice when they're in 12th grade. And I want a job that it's fulfilling. But Paul here, he's going to teach us that fulfillment doesn't come from ministry, doesn't come from a nice place to work, doesn't come from feed the poor or whatever. Although those are great things, the purpose of work is obedience. Period. If you're doing that in a nice setting, if you're doing it with passion, if you're doing it in ministry, better. But you can be a minister and not be obedient. and then the purpose is gone. Are you seeing what Paul is going to teach us today? Are we going to the same place? Okay, so keep that in mind. Fulfillment comes from Christ, not from work, no matter how nice it is. And the main first purpose is obedience. You saw the word slave here. I could talk about slavery here forever. I don't want to do that. I just want enough so we can make a bridge, a link from slavery to nowadays. Okay? The great difference between a slave to our 2023 slave employee, Gustavo, it's this. Slave was owned by the person. Today we are not. If I don't like my boss, can you say amen? No, don't say amen to that. If I don't like my boss, I can quit. And if I'm very mean, I'm going to open a company and I'm going to become his rival. And I'm going to steal his workers, and we're going to make more profit than him. Does that make sense? It's slavery back in the days, you cannot do that. You are owned by the person. If you quit, guess what? You're going to die. You are my property. If you quit, guess what? I'm going to send you to jail. You are my property. Do you see this difference? Today we have union, government job. Have you ever passed through the 401 and there is three guys with the shovel looking and one working? Did you listen that, Trudeau? Send this to Trudeau. No. So, it's a different context. Before, you're owned by someone. Today, you have this rights to back you up. Although we have all these rights to back us up, what is our purpose? Verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Obviously, except from sin, except from moral, we need to obey. And I have an illustration here for you. You know that I work on the events every Tuesday night. And my boss, the real boss, Ryan, we had to make a decision. He makes the decision, I make the deed. Right? He's the boss. And he said, Gustavo, do this. And I look at him. That one, I won't do it. He's like, you gotta do it now. I'm like, sorry, I can't. And he looked at me, you're not gonna do it. No. And then he went and did. And before reading this text, super Canadian. I'm Brazilian, but I became Canadian for the things I want to be Canadian. I have the right to say no. He has not that much authority. I obey him. I'm a good guy, a submissive. But no, if he asks me something that it's uncomfortable, I'm not okay, I have the right to say no. Let us read together. Gustavo, obey your earthly master in everything. It's absurd. I'm uncomfortable. It's boring, like the boring meeting. Gustavo, you gotta do it. That's obedience and mean. So if you look at me on that night, Gustavo is a man of purpose. He is working for ministry. When I miss the purpose on that very night for one simple thing, disobedience. Are you understanding that? Obedience is our main and primary purpose. Slaves, employees, obey your earthly master. Second thing the Apostle Paul wants to teach us, let us read, we're going to keep it, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Verse 23, Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. The second thing the Apostle Paul wants to teach us is mindset, heart, worldview. The lenses I see the world. Some people show up at work and they want to do the bare minimum and still get paid. They want to slack and still get paid. They want to skip work and still get paid. And that's acceptable for Canada. If you are at work and you punch the in, your boss is going to need to pay you. But in the eyes of the Lord, it's another thing. You show up at work and you work. Even if there is no supervision. Even if there is no leadership. Even if the place is upside down. You're working unto the Lord. There is no need of somebody babysitting you because you are working unto the Lord. And that's what Christ wants from us. That we are so aware that we are getting paid. So aware that we need to be obedient. So aware of the deposit of the Holy Spirit that He gives us, which is wisdom, which is efficient, that we can work regardless. It is better when we have leadership. It is essential. It is better when we have supervision. It is necessary. It is better when the place is not upside down. It is. But in our ethics, regardless. I'm not working for a paycheck. I'm working unto the Lord. I'm not working for a paycheck. I'm working in obedience. Are we clear here? But the third thing now, it's the cherry on the top. Let us read verse 24. And I really need you to understand this. Verse 24 says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance. Everybody, inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Quick question. Does a slave have any inheritance? He is owned by someone. He had no inheritance. But Paul is saying, work unto the Lord because you do have an inheritance. So what is Paul teaching us here? Your inheritance is not your paycheck. Your inheritance is the Lord. And that's why the thesis is so important. Fulfillment doesn't come from the place you work, from the label it has, from the passion, or you like it or not. It is a boring and repetitive job, or it's a nice job that you can fly everywhere, meet new places, being so meaningful. Fulfillment doesn't come from either. It comes from the Lord. What is He teaching for the employee? Sometimes feel hard. You work, but the profits go to someone else. You work and you don't grow. Someone else is growing at your expenses. The Lord is saying, relax. Your inheritance and fulfillment is the Lord. And on the flip side, it's very true. Because the landowners, they may think that their inheritance is the business. Or the house I have. Or my rental place that I'm renting and making some profit. Or my funds in the stock market, my RSP, my TFSA. And the Lord is saying, both of you, do not place your heart there. Because your inheritance of both of you is the Lord. Is fulfillment is the Lord. Your reward is spiritual. But this probably you know. Let us go a little bit deep. Can I go? Am I not going to hurt you? No? You know? Okay. Paul here is teaching us something that we need to pay attention. I fell on one of these sides. I usually fall for all of them. The workaholics. Who is a workaholic? Raise the hand. Yes, praise God. Paul is saying, watch out when you think that your inheritance is your job. Watch out when you think your inheritance is your career. Watch out when you think your inheritance is the raise and amount of profits. Because your inheritance is the Lord. When I become a workaholic, work idolater, my career, I want to be successful. I'm not enough to be a pastor. I want to be the pastor. I'm not enough to be a teacher. I want to be the teacher. I'm not enough to be business owner. I want to be the business owner. Paul is saying you miss your inheritance. Your inheritance is not that. Obviously, you can grow, definitely, but that's not your inheritance. Because the moment that Gustavo thinks about that, my boss is not my boss anymore. My boss became a rival because I want his place. My co-workers are not my co-workers anymore. Now they became what? A rival. I want to beat you. I want to be better than you because my inheritance and reward is my work. You see how dangerous this? Nobody see because it's always happening here and here, inside their heart and their mind. But that's what Paul is saying. If you put your inheritance in the career, in the success, no matter if it's godly purpose or regular purpose, you're gonna be falling on that trap. You need to understand the Lord is your inheritance. And on the flip side, who are the slackers? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But the slackers are missing that the Lord is their inheritance. They don't know the Lord is their inheritance. Therefore, they don't appreciate their job. They don't know the Lord is their inheritance. Therefore, they don't obey. They don't know that the Lord will reward them. Therefore, they do not get excited for working. Because they miss the point that the Lord is their inheritance. So with these two extremes, the Lord is our inheritance. The Lord is our reward. Fulfillment comes only from the Lord. When we understand that, we are safe. We understand that, Felipe, Emma, you can make a profession choice way much easier. The burden falls out. I need to find my job. I need this. And you understand the Lord is your inheritance? The burden is like, wherever I go, I am blessed. Wherever I go, I have my inheritance in the Lord. Wherever I go, I'll be successful. Does that make sense? Just very quick tip. Does that make sense, Emmanuel? Okay. The Lord is our inheritance. The primary purpose of the employee? Obedience. The primary purpose of all of us at work, at retirement, oh, I retire, now I'm going to go for vacation everywhere. It's to understand the Lord is our inheritance. So now, let us finish talking about me, the employee. Now it's the moment. Let us talk about our master, the bosses, and see how this applies to him. I need you to skip verse 25. We're going to come back to it. But for now, skip chapter 4, verse 1. It's the next verse. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Few things we need to say here. First of all, Paul is being revolutionary. Like, you and I, when we want changes, we advocate things. We go for strike. Hollywood went to strike. GM went to strike. soon your pastor is going to go to strike. No, 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 no. I'm here. But when we want changes, we go advocate, strike, complain. Paul is being revolutionary here. He's not advocating something. He's talking straight to the heart of the masters who are Christians. Because think with me, there were only regulations to the slaves. Slave is a property. Slave must be profit. If your slave does something you don't like, you have this option, you have that option, or you have another option of punishment. All the kinds of regulations to the slaves, to the employee, zero to the master. The master could do whatever he wants. Paul is giving here a regulation. You cannot do whatever you want. I know Rome tells you that the slave is your property, but I tell you that Christ is telling you that he is not your property. Are we understand that? There is a regulation here. There is a limit to the authority. Authority, if we owe obedience in every circumstances, they owe to us an authority that is in love. Not a tyranny, not oppression, not I do whatever I want to you. I think you are my possession. Just because I'm paying you, I can ask whatever I want. There is a limit in the authority. First thing we notice here. And second thing, which is very clear in the text and we like so much. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair. You see the kind of word the Apostle Paul is using? Provide. He could have said, do. Act. Be nice. Give a smile. He says what? Provide. Provide. He's talking about money. He's talking about the real thing. Money. He's talking about that. And you see, he's saying, right. The job is 20 the hour. You don't need, just because you're Christian, to pay 40. Pay 20. But if the job is 20, don't pay them 15 because they are good guys, Christian guys, and they are doing this for the Lord, not for the money. Do what is fair and right. We as Christians, we should be the best payers. Our place to work should be the best, not the world. Somebody's going to hand the resume, oh, I would rather to work for a company, Amazon or whatever, than working for you because you're Christian, you pay poorly. That's not true. That's not what the Bible is teaching us. That's not the pattern. With that, I'm going to bring two examples of men that I love. One, it's your professor of homiletics, Tony. Tony Soldano, he was the VP of Shoppers Drug Mart. And he renounced everything to become a pastor. And during COVID, you know that everybody laid off people. Do you know that? COVID hit, lay you off. I have a burden, COVID. I don't want another burden, my employees. So go home. Tony instead, his church instead, kept everybody. And in the midst of COVID, he gave bonuses to his staff because he wanted to tell them, thank you. We know everybody's at home and still getting paid the stimulus check. And you'd rather be here working. Thank you. We know everybody's at home, COVID, because we don't know what's going on. And you're here, brave enough to be working. Thank you. That's what Tony did. And everybody lay people off. And keep in mind, the church lives off donations, not profits. Keep in mind, the church was closed. And when they opened, it was 10 people, 15 people, 30% people. Now let's lock everything back again. And Tony kept their staff, kept paying and giving bonus. Another man, as you know, I always tell about him, Dave Ramsey. COVID hit, nobody laid off, and it's a big company. But what amazes me was the kind of explanation he gave. He said this, COVID's happening. We, the leaders, we're going to work like crazy. We're going to find a way to beat COVID, to bring revenue, to make the Ramsey solution to keep going. And if we, the leaders, are not able, we're going to be the first ones who are going to fill our paychecks, not our employees, not the people who cannot deal with this situation. We, the leaders, are going to be the first ones to fill the price. The opposite of the world. COVID came, who are the first ones to feel the damage? The employees. He thought otherwise. I'll be the first one to take the penalty. Now I need you to read again, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Why does Dave Ramsey say this? Because he understands he has a master in heaven. We sing, who got the first punch? Jesus Christ on the cross. Sin damaged us. He went to the cross and took the first hit. He paid the price as the master for us. And that's why the master, when he understands his position and his authority, he uses the same way. I don't want to hurt my employees. I want to protect them. If everybody's being hit, I want to be hit as well. We are in this together. Amen. Verse 25 for conclusion. Because this is all beautiful, right? It's very beautiful. So Paul now in verse 25, he is going to protect us from our human nature. Verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. There is no favoritism. Speaking all of this that I told you, that our inheritance is the Lord Jesus, not our work. That our main purpose is obedience, not exactly the passion or the label we work at. Me as an employee may go to the wrong mindset that my boss is Christian, generous, therefore I work. However, my boss is a good master. He's going to provide me regardless. Paul is saying, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. There is no favoritism. Don't go there, the Apostle Paul is saying. On the other hand, the boss and his human nature may think, my employees, they do it for the Lord. They don't do it for money. They're all good people. Therefore, I'll keep them on a low wage. Therefore, I'll keep them in the bottom of society. The Apostle Paul is saying what in verse 25? Anyone, master and slave, who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. So that's what the Apostle Paul is doing. He protects us from our tendency to always get away with things, no matter if you're an employee or if you're the boss. And the Apostle Paul is reminding us what Colossians is all about. Remember, Colossians is all about Christ is all in all. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's applying this to our family life, to our work life, and to our authority and submission life. How do we do life in church? How we do life in family? How we do life at work? How do we do life? understanding that Christ is all in all, that implies I'm going to be the best I can be to honor my Lord, but that also implies that my fulfillment doesn't come from these places. Rather, it comes from the Lord. Amen. Let us pray before we change subjects from sermon to communion. Jesus, we pray that this word teaches us, Lord, for those who are working, for those who are choosing a career, for those who are retired, for those who are about to retire. Lord, may we submit as we were doing to the Lord. And may we lead as we were doing under the Lord, Lord. Remind us of these words, Lord, that our main purpose is to find our joy and fulfillment in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.